We're going to get back to the calls in just a little while. But first, we're going to go out now on our newsmaker line and bring in Catherine Terrell. She is the Saints beat reporter over at The Athletic in New Orleans. It's time to dive in. Last week, we visited the AFC West. Today, we look at the Raiders' first home opponent at Allegiant Stadium, albeit an empty one. And that, of course, is future Hall of Famer Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints as they roll into town. Catherine, thanks for being with us here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, well, for, you know what? Before we get into the Saints, though, I got to throw one curveball at you here. You live in SEC country. How's the mood down there with the specter of maybe college football not being there this year?
Well, I mean, I can only really speak for myself and the people I talk to all the time, and I think everyone's just kind of resigned to there not being any college football at all this year. I think everyone thinks the SEC will probably try to hang on the longest, but I would be a little surprised if they just went at it themselves. So everyone's kind of just, I guess, in holding pattern and waiting until it finally just is announced that they're not dragging us out anymore. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. It definitely seems like things are trending in the wrong direction.
I know. It's hard to be an optimist right now about that, and you have to be a realist, and that doesn't always mean great news. But when we talk about the Saints, Catherine, the expectations for them and Drew Brees are high again this year. Of course, we all know what happened the last 3 years. Great seasons, derailed in the playoffs. But when they come into 2020 loaded again, the roster, if healthy, it's right there at the top of the entire NFC. And again, really, it's about the postseason. Why do they enter this season maybe feeling a little bit different than maybe in previous years?
Well, I think that they just return a veteran roster, and that helps a lot in this kind of crazy non-OTA summer they've been going through. A lot of teams are kind of trying to scramble to get to know each other, and it's obviously really hard right now. The Saints don't really have that problem. They had a small draft class. Almost every starter on the roster is already penciled in, outside of maybe two spots, I think. So, and they have a coaching staff that's been together forever. I mean, their offensive coordinator has been there, you know, over 10 years, and that's just, you know, not really the norm these days. So I think that gives them a leg up. And I also just think there's players that dealt with injuries last year that are healthy now, Drew Brees being one of them, Alvin Kamara being another one. We just talked to him today. And, you know, he's been working all offseason to get better. So I think they have a fighting chance, or as good a chance as anyone, to make the playoffs this year.
How big of a year is it for defensive end Marcus Davenport, the young man out of UTSA that the Saints traded up for just a few seasons ago?
Well, I think when you are a guy that a team traded up for in the first round, you're always going to kind of have a bullseye on you. Everyone's always expecting you to live up to that lofty status, and so far he hasn't. However, I do think last year he really was coming into his own, and then he got hurt. So we talked to him the other day, and he was saying, you know, he works a lot with Cam Jordan. I think they're pretty close, and he wants to be better than Cam Jordan, and that's a pretty high status to attain to. I think Cam Jordan's one of the best defensive ends in the NFL. So if Cam Jordan has the kind of year he wants, and so does Marcus Davenport, it's going to be a huge year for them. But, you know, year three is always the big year, so it's basically make it or break it for him at this point.
Talking to Catherine Terrell from The Athletic in New Orleans about the Saints, who will be here the second week of September to take on the Raiders in Las Vegas. And, Catherine, let's stay on the defense and talk about Cam Jordan, because you talked about him being overlooked. I agree, one of the best pass rushers in the league, third in sacks since 2017. If you look at the PFF rankings as well, he's right up there with Von Miller and Khalil Mack. Why does this kid, why does he get overlooked when he clearly is putting up the numbers consistently?
I've always wondered that, and I don't know, maybe it's the small market thing of New Orleans, because I always felt like Drew Brees was consistently overlooked for years. And, you know, he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame one day. So I don't know. That's the only thing I can really think of, because I think all around, Cam Jordan really could make an argument that he should be considered one of the best defensive ends in the league. Because, you know, he plays the run well. He's a good pass rusher. You saw the numbers last year. I think he's only getting better in his 30s. So it is interesting, the rhyme or reason why some players just don't resonate. I don't know why, because he definitely has the personality to be a fan favorite, even outside of New Orleans, if anyone's ever listened to him talk. I mean, I think this is the guy that's probably going to be on TV one day when his playing career is over. He's just that kind of guy.
On the offensive side of the ball, how big of an acquisition was it to bring in Emmanuel Sanders?
Well, I think that the team has needed a true number two wide receiver for a long time now. You know, they have Michael Thomas, and everyone knows he had a record number of catches last year. But when you look at the pass catchers on the Saints in 2019, you have to go down about four spots after Michael Thomas to actually get to the next receiver who had the next amount of catches. So it was like Michael Thomas, then like a tight end, a running back, a tight end, and then a receiver. And that was Ted Ginn Jr., and he had like 400 yards. That tells you a lot. It means the Saints couldn't rely on their receivers at all. And they've always tried to spread the ball around. They've always used running backs as pass catchers and tight ends and things like that. But, I mean, it's still, like I said, it kind of shows you they kind of wrote off most of their wide receivers. So I think last year at the trade deadline, they kind of thought about getting wide receiver. It didn't work out. When Sanders actually came to them and said, I want to play for y'all, and it all worked out money-wise. So I think that this is going to be able to take some coverage away from Michael Thomas. I think it can really open things up for their offense. And if Sanders is still on the upswing, if he's not declining yet, I think that, you know, he could really make a difference this year.
Catherine Terrell, again from The Athletic in New Orleans, joins us. She covers the Saints. And Catherine, last season we saw Drew Brees had plenty left in the tank. Of course, the thumb injury derailed him. And then the offseason with some of the social justice uproar that he faced. What are we going to see out of Brees in 2020? And sort of what's the mood around the team and the folks you're talking to about Drew Brees, his standing and his readiness for 2020?
Well, the biggest concern about Drew Brees has been his arm strength the last few years and if his arm is declining. So for about five straight years, his number of pass attempts over 20 or 30 yards in the air, I know it's a big difference, but I can't remember. Basically, his long pass attempts declined every year for five straight years, which is, you know, that kind of says something. And I wonder if it was a product of his arm strength, if it was a product of the offense, or what. And Brees is the type of guy that he might not say anything about it, but you know that bothers him. So this offseason, when he was working with throwing coach Tom House, they specifically worked on arm strength. They had him throwing a ball at 60 miles an hour into a net and then progressing to try to throw a football 60 yards. So I wonder, you can't put arm strength back if it's gone, but you can change your mechanics to try to compensate for that. So maybe we'll see Drew Brees throwing some long passes this year. I don't know, but I'm very intrigued to see if that made any difference.
Talking right now with Catherine Terrell from The Athletic here on Raider Nation Radio 920. And it's very rare that we talk about backup quarterbacks, but with the Saints, you just about have to. Taysom Hill, do you expect his role to be a little bit more expanded this year? And then what do you expect from Jameis Winston?
Well, Taysom Hill has been the subject of so much offseason talk. It was almost absurd because he's such a unique player. And to be quite honest, he was pretty much the only offensive player doing anything against the Vikings in the playoffs. He did say once he signed that new contract for 2 years, he said, my special teams role was going to decline and maybe I'll do more at quarterback. But I kind of think that they're going to have Jameis Winston be the direct number two quarterback. Then that leaves Taysom to still do his thing where he kind of plays at every position. Sometimes he plays tight end or lines up, you know, all over the field, basically. So I don't even know if it's a competition. I think it's a competition for next year if Drew Brees retires. But I could definitely see them making Winston the immediate backup just so it frees up Taysom to do other things. So that's another battle I'm looking forward to watching next week.
Well, Catherine, week two, hopefully you'll roll in here too. We'll have to physically distance, of course, but the Saints come to Las Vegas. That could be a high-scoring affair. Q and I have been talking about on this show a lot that because of this shortened offseason, because of the lack of practice and OTAs and all that, that we're going to see maybe a few weeks of these teams getting in shape. So we might see a really high-scoring affair. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'd be all for it. Those are always pretty fun. I've covered some games for Drew Brees through 7 touchdowns, and I think the other team threw 7 touchdowns too. So, hey, I'm used to it. Bring it on. But, yeah, I could see that, actually. That could be pretty interesting if it's just a game where it's totally aired out by both teams. But I think Saints fans would be pretty horrified if that's the case, because the team's been working so hard the past few years to get their defense away from that after they were so horrifically bad in 2012 and 2014 and 2015. So if they return to that, it'll be interesting.
Well, Catherine, we appreciate you being here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. We'll talk to you on down the line.
Yeah, definitely. Hope I see you all in a few weeks, months. Yeah, I don't have this as a time anymore.
We're there with you. We appreciate it. Have a great one. All right. We are going to step aside, take a break. When we come back, we'll go right back to your phone calls, 702-365-9200. You're listening to the Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.